Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Tom Masacker's here. After all these years, more than 11 years, he's been a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of a number of books, most of which we've launched on this show, including A Clear Eye for Branding, A Little Less Conversation, The Business of Belief. You're starting to get the picture. He's our good friend, Tom Masacker. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
And good, hello there. And folks, that's just to be... Opportunity Screams. That's the new one, right?
Nope. The Business of Belief.
There it is. Okay. All right. There's so many of them here. I've got them right here. Here it is. The Business of Belief. Little black book. Hey, Tom, thanks for being here. One of the things that... Let me tell you about a quick little story. I was talking to a group of executives earlier this year about the age of the customer, and they liked my ideas, and they said, let's get together and talk about what we should be doing to reach out and touch customers with our age of the customer approach. He was talking about among themselves. The leader was. And I said, guys, I'm sorry to put it this way, put this finer point on it, but nobody cares what you think.
That's right.
I said, if you want to find out what your next move should be, you should be asking your customers. You should be finding out what excites them. You should be finding out what their expectations are. That's what your, as you would say it, that's what your brand image is, not something else. What do you think?
No, absolutely. No one likes hearing that. I mean, I've used that line in almost every one of my books, that if you want a strong brand, remember that it doesn't matter what people think about you. What matters is how do you make others feel about themselves in your presence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the great brands understand. This is hidden from most people. Most people in most organizations are trying to find themselves so that they can then exude that personality. And it's absolutely the backwards way of thinking about things. What we are is we're great directors and producers. We're trying to create a great experience, a great film, movie that draws people in. People don't care why you created the movie. They want the great experience. They want to feel good about exchanging their money for what the value is that you provide back. And I think we've lost track of that.
Well, you know, one of the things before you got here, I was telling the audience you were coming, what we were going to talk about, and I said, what is your brand image? What is your identity? What is the identity of your brand? And then I stopped and I said, well, wait a minute. I thought to myself, wait a minute. What if you don't have that? What if you don't know what that is? I mean, see, sometimes you and I presume that people have already thought about that. And before you can be confused about what your brand identity is, you gotta have one that you can recognize, one that you've established, that you've determined is yours. What do you think?
That's true. I'll tell you, it's not much different than human beings. Most of us sit around running our businesses, just as most human beings sit around, believing that they're better than they really are. Right? I mean, when they do surveys of human beings and they say, are you above or below 50% on these different factors? Mm-hmm. Everybody says they're way above
50%. Of course.
Right? So how can everybody be above 50%? And it's the same thing with our organizations and our businesses. We do this so that we can get up in the morning and feel good about ourselves. We think we're better than we really are. And everything out there is telling us, maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. Maybe we need to really think about how are others perceiving us? Are we really all that in a bag of chips?
Well,
I mean, go ahead.
Finish your thought.
I'm going to tell you. I read a paper in the Journal of Consumer Research lately that really made this clear. They did. It was titled "How Non-Consumption Shapes Desire." You can never figure out the what these things mean from the title. But in essence, the researchers were trying to test two proverbs on brand. Is it out of sight, out of mind when our brands are taken away from us? Or is it absence makes the heart grow fonder? And they found out, and it didn't matter what brand it was. It could be food. It could be Facebook. They found out that how much a person desires a brand depends on the length of time that passes before they can find it.
Right.
Unless they can find a suitable replacement.
And today, that's not very far away.
That's the whole point, Jim.
Yeah.
There are so many suitable replacements today that as soon as you do something that either makes it hard for people to buy you or find you, or as soon as you stop stimulating their desire, they'll go someplace else.
Well, see, this is the point that we've been making on this show here and all the work that I do for all these years is you've got to find a way to stay in front of people, even if you're not trying to sell them anything, even if you're not, and especially when you're not trying to sell them something, you're just trying to serve them. You're trying to, it's what I call contribute first, contract second, and you've got to stay in front of them because the longer, as you said, the longer people go without having your image, your name, face, voice in their mind, the next time a competitor dances across their screen, not pops up necessarily, in the traditional ways, but in the non-traditional ways, the newer ways, pops up on their screen or in their smartphone, that's the transaction they're going to make.
Yeah, that's what's happening. I mean, the times have changed. The number of competitive options has exploded because the barriers to entry have been eliminated. I mean, you've got the internet now. Anybody can go out there and become their own media company just by putting up a website, right? So people need to understand that in the old days, they couldn't communicate with you. They couldn't get on television. They couldn't get in the newspaper, right, or on the radio. Now you sit down at your couch and you've got your iPad opened up. People can communicate with you. And we have to be paranoid about that.
And it's happening at increasingly incremental ways. Even food, even food items. The grocery store, the local grocery store, can't be assured that you're not going to find some food items in other parts of the, in other ways rather than just going to the grocery store. I need a website, Tom.
TheBusinessOfBelief.com.
Check it out, folks. You won't regret it. Tom Asacker and I will be right back. There's actually another level about this that it's actually worse than what Tom and I are talking about, and I want to get his thoughts on that after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.